last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
It was back in January 2024 when Ian Bailey died. Ian Bailey had become an infamous figure in Ireland over a period of nearly 30 years, most closely associated with the death of Sophie Tuscan de Plantier, a French woman who was murdered in Cork in December of 1996. And the last time Ian Bailey was on this programme would have been when he was responding to a documentary that had been made by the acclaimed Oscar-winning movie maker Jim Sheridan, Murder at the Cottage, The Search for Justice for Sophie. As it happens, Jim has continued his interest in the story of both Ian Bailey and Sophie Tuscan de Plantier and has made a new movie, Recreation, The Trial of Ian Bailey. And Jim joins us now. Jim, why the continued interest in Ian Bailey and Sophie Tuscan de Plantier?
I'm just obsessed with the truth, I think, and just trying to get to the truth. And I believe that there was no real investigation into the murder. I think they concentrated in 3 square miles of Tourmore in West Cork for reasons best known to themselves. And never did any French investigation.
Why would that have been necessary and relevant?
Well, because 85% of the time in a murder like that, it's a partner or a close relative that's responsible, usually. About that, the figures are like very high up. And to rule out an investigation in France, or not to allow the Irish police to interview the husband and people associated with him, was crazy in my mind.
So tell us a little bit about the movie, and we'll get back to your documentaries in a moment and the contacts that you would have had with Ian Bailey. Tell us what you've tried to do, because although it's labelled Recreation, the Trial of Ian Bailey, there was never a trial in Ireland of Ian Bailey for murder, was there? There was a trial in France, which he wasn't present at, under different type of criteria, and there were civil actions involving him, but there was never a trial for murder. So there was nothing there to recreate as such, was there?
No, I suppose we recreate the consequence of a trial, the jury room. I know that Micheál Martin and various others said it was a pity that he was never put on trial. So, I mean, it wouldn't have been, we did a small amount of the trial at the beginning of the movie, but it's all concentrated on the jury room. And I just wanted to bring people's bias and, you know, opinions and show where they come from and show how people approach it, you know. They all approach it with an emotional background to what they're deciding.
Because a lot of people would have an opinion as to whether Ian Bailey was guilty or not. Whether they'd ever met him, or they maybe have heard him on the radio, or would have heard stories about him. And the majority of people, I think it is fair to say, did come to the conclusion it was him. Sure, if it wasn't him, who else could it have been?
Yeah, I heard that one. Who else could it have been? It could have been the killer. You know, I think it's just, they did a thing in the one of the Sunday newspapers where they said that by the time Murder at the Cottage came out, 66% thought he didn't do it. So I think we had an effect of, for good or ill, casting doubt on the suspicion that it was Ian Bailey, you know. Like, we have a DPP, and their job is to send somebody for trial if they think the evidence warrants it. And if they say no, like, it should be respected. It just shouldn't be that every newspaper in Ireland and every media just jumps on Bailey and says it's a shame on Ireland, when the police were told to go home from France. Like, it's a shame that they accepted that.
In fairness, I'm not sure every newspaper did. I'm thinking, for example, Gene Kerrigan in the Sunday Independent would have been exceptionally strong the whole way covering the case, pointing out that, A, there was an absence of evidence to convict Owen Bailey, or Ian Bailey, he was calling himself Owen at the time when Sophie was killed. But not only was there an absence of evidence, that there was an exceptionally bad procedure by the Gardaí in the assembly of evidence and in the loss of evidence. And what you do in the movie, and having seen the movie last night, is bring an awful lot of that material into the jury room as if it had been presented during your imagined trial.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But it's a movie and we're trying to bring in any of the evidence that we can. Gene Kerrigan was one of the honourable exceptions who was very strong on the lack of evidence or whatever he believed against Bailey. There were others, but in general, the papers were, you know, very anti-Bailey, I believe. And the, you know, the certain journalists just seem to know everything the police thinks. You know, they just get the information straight from the police and put it in the paper, you know. And now you even have this DNA thing, like, of the super vacuum that's going to get blood from the stone and the in the breeze block, you know, and hope they do.
Okay, just let's explain. This is a procedure called an MVAC, isn't it?
Yeah.
And basically this is going to go to the rock which was used to beat Sophie Tuscan DuPont, and I'm sure there are people who'd be upset even thinking about the idea of what happened. Mm-hmm. And it is displayed to an extent in the movie that you've done as well. But that they can go back to this piece of rock from 30 years ago and they can extract the DNA of the killer from it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what they're saying. But the contradiction is they already have DNA on the shoe. So why not release the nationality of that person? Why not limit it down and tell us where they're from or potentially from?
And if they have DNA, presumably they'll be able to cross-match it with Owen Bailey's.
Yeah.
And they could maybe rule him in or rule him out.
Yeah.
Even posthumously.
Yeah. Well...
But they haven't released that.
No, they haven't released it. And, you know, I suppose I'm going to look really stupid if they come out and say Ian Bailey's blood is on the stone, you know, or this DNA. I'd find that extraordinary if they did. And it's very hard to believe that there was no DNA, though I accept the fact that there wasn't. But it's really hard to accept.
Might it be on the missing gate?
It could be on the
missing gate. Would you explain the missing gate to people?
Well, the missing gate is a gate that probably as Sophie was being battered, she tried to probably get over the gate or close it. But her blood is all over the gate and I suspect somebody else's was. And that was a 30-foot wide gate, a 4-bar gate. And it went missing from the police evidence.
Sorry, this was taken from the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
And put into storage as evidence.
Yeah.
And was lost.
Yeah.
And how big a gate did you say it was?
30-foot wide, yeah.
How do you lose a 30-foot wide gate?
And keep a stone. Like, you've kept the breeze block and the stone for all these years, but you've lost a gate. It just seems weird, you know.
Which is another example of a deeply flawed Garda investigation, although they are investigating it again, aren't they? And I can say that because I've been contacted by the Garda in relation to it and asked for a statement, and I gave them a brief statement about what I knew of Bailey at the time.
Yeah.
And you sort of wonder, funny enough, it was the first time I was contacted at all.
Yeah.
It was nearly 30 years on.
Well, it was, you were the editor, I think, when... And
of the Sunday Tribune. At
yeah,
the time,
of the Sunday Tribune. When was it Callanan?
Helen Callanan was my deputy editor who had been dealing with him because he was freelancing for us, writing business stories, and then just volunteered himself as being on the man on the ground who could actually write reports for us.
Yeah.
So that's how we had our relationship with Bailey. And then Bailey, as I said, has been on this radio show on a number of occasions over the years as well. And we had him on the basis that he had not been found guilty of any crime. And there clearly was something went badly wrong with the investigation. But how did you find Bailey as a person in your dealings with him? Because he was, without a doubt, a very odd individual, wasn't he?
Like, he was more than odd, you know. He was very egocentric and... narcissistic, you know, and kind of in general hard to like, you know. And but I kind of I almost looked upon him as slightly off, you know what I mean, not fully there, you know. It's like hard to explain. He was very intelligent and at the same time he seemed to be missing something. You know what I mean? Like
empathy. Because an awful lot of the time in the way he spoke about the murder, it was all about the impact on him rather than the impact on the dead person.
Yeah.
There was a real absence of empathy in him, wasn't there?
Unbelievable. And even like 25 years later, when I tried to get him to say Sophie's name, I found it hard to get him to say that, you know. It was almost like he blamed her for him, his position, you know.
Yeah, but wasn't there a paradox in his position as well, in the sense that he complained that his life had been ruined by this, but in some respects, it made him. It turned him into a former celebrity and got him the type of attention that he craved. And he seemed to quite enjoy an awful lot of the attention.
Yeah, he was like, you know, that frog in the hot water, and the frog doesn't realize the water's getting hotter and hotter until it dies. That's what Ian was like, you know. He was like surrounded by fame, but not really conscious of the effect it might be having on him. Do you know what I mean? Like, one of the, I gave him a camera. Initially, I was trying to do the Jinx part too, you know, find, you know, be the hero of getting the guy to confess. You know what I mean? Like, so I gave him a camera to record himself. But sure, he would send me drunk out of the mind stuff. And he had a pliers one night and he pulled his tooth out, you know? So.
On camera?
Yeah. This is the first time, I bet you, this ever happened. And he pulled the tooth out, yeah.
You made the documentary and you've said since that you weren't able to say everything that you wanted to say in the documentary. In what way? And please don't say anything that'll have me running for the lawyers now as well.
No, look, this thing is fraught with problems around, you know, legal stuff. But, you know, I wasn't able to do that report of the man who, the forensic scientist who says she was stabbed and that kind of thing.
This was the English version.
Yeah.
That you refer to in the movie.
Yeah. But, like, there's no doubt when you see the photographs that she was strangled. You know, there's no doubt about it, I think.
Before she was bludgeoned.
Yeah. It makes sense. Like a woman screaming, you stop her screaming and choke her, you know. You quieten her. So.
God, that sounds very callous, but I suppose that is the nature of murder, is it?
Yeah.
Recreation, the trial of Ian Bailey, will it be available all over the country for people
it's
to see?
It's on the Omniplex cinemas. We were in Rathmines showing it last night, and it's in Tralee and all over the country, Galway, Wexford, you know.
And do you think, will it change people's minds about Ian Bailey?
Well, I think it'll bring an emotion to the story that's not available in a documentary.
Jim Sheridan, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.